Blog Talk Radio.
There's no reason for you to find fault in me. There's no reason for me to find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. Cause you have a soul like I do, so I have no right to judge you. Cause the meaning I do is a reflection of how I feel about me and you. But we are as perfect as we were created. Let's stop looking at races, classes, and faces. Share the same space. It's not for the same. We might as well get it right now. Cause they're not a part of a religion.
Because I was always known to be an optimist, a cockeyed optimist. And I don't know, it's looking bleak. It's definitely looking bleak for black people, but it's looking bleak for people in general. If you're not part of an elite group, looking very, very bleak. That's why it is my most humble prayer that we can find things that we can agree on as opposed to all the things that make us different. Because if we don't, it's going to be, again, like Dr. King said, either we're going to learn to live together or we're going to perish this damn place as fools. Now, the reason why I say a race and let's deal with it, because I get so sick and damn tired of running into people that tell me, I'm not racist. First of all, I know you're not. And if you don't have any power, you can't be. So you don't have to explain that aspect. You do probably have some prejudices, and that's okay. You can be inclined to have them. Most human beings do, until they are allowed to get to know one another. So that's okay. Because I believe it's a scripture in the Quran that says something to the effect that Allah made us into tribes and families that we may get to know one another. So that's okay. Don't tell me that crap that you don't see color, because that's bullshit, prick. This is crazy. If you go to the car lot, you don't just say, oh, just give me a car. What color? I don't give a damn what color. Just bring me any color. Okay, I don't really believe there's very many people that exist like that. And even if it is, there's something probably in their life that they have a specific color for. Maybe it's an event that they want to wear a black dress or a black tie, okay, or all-white party. So it's okay to see color, and it's okay to appreciate all the colors of the world. And see, that's what I use as a gauge to know where most people's mind is at. Now, black people are in a peculiar situation on so many levels, because whenever we show any kind of proudness or I want to exemplify or even talk up our race, we're given the stigma of being a racist or being a prejudiced person. And to me, that is so profound, because what happens here is I realize that there's a mass programming going on that whenever I take pride in my race, I'm being considered a racist. The Chinaman, Korean, European, everybody takes pride in their race, and most people don't have a problem with it until it comes to black people. So the reason I believe that race pride in us is misconstrued as prejudice or revolution is because of the dirty laundry and the dirty history that is involved with us being here. Okay? So unless we are willing to have an unhypocritical conversation, unless we are willing to deal with the hurt and pain and hurt, and this is on both of our parts, and then be willing to make some kind of retribution for the wrong that was done. And I want to make sure I clearly state that. There has to be some retribution for the atrocities that was committed. Otherwise, you are asking for all-out anarchy and a destruction of both peoples. Because you cannot continue to go on sitting on a powder keg, and there's a big elephant in the room, and no one wants to deal with it. I noticed that Django brought out a lot of mixed emotions in a lot of people. And what was so crazy about it is I wondered, along with my friend, we contemplated or we thought about a situation, what would happen in the terms of the psychic of white people if they woke up and every black person they saw had on a blue outfit and that white ruffled shirt. They would have to have a pistol on their hip or a shotgun or even have a horse. But if they woke up and saw everybody, even the baby, down to the baby, everybody got on blue, that Django suit where the girl said, "You mean you want to dress like that?" That one. White people's mind would get blown, okay? What would it do? Would it cause them to grab their guns and then just freak out and start shooting us off? Well, my contention is probably, yeah. We, even though we would not have a weapon on us, because of the history that has occurred between the two. And when they see that blue suit, the first thing it's going to remind them of is what we did to them. Okay? Because most group of people at some point fight back. And the only reason we haven't done anything is because we've been taught not to do that. That's why that scene was so profound when Leonardo DiCaprio, when they were in Candyland, you know, with Calvin Candy, and they went and got that skull of old Sam or whoever his name was, the old black servant that was his servant as well as his dad's servant as well as his servant. So he'd been around there for a long time. Even as long as longer than old Uncle Tom, Sam Jackson, and I thought that segment was so profound when he went inside and pulled out that piece of his skull, and he said it so intently that I don't know if y'all really understood what he said, because if you did, it should have rocked every nerve of your fiber. When he said that skull that belonged to old Ben had three marks in it, and those marks signified submissiveness, just an overwhelming degree of submissiveness to the point where a person could do anything to this skull, this person, this group with these knots in their skull because they have a propensity to just be doormat. And he clearly sat there and stated he wondered why old Sam or whatever his name was did not slit his dad's throat, because hell, if they were being treated the way they treating us, they would have been revolted. And they don't even care how many of them it is. Like, what was the Adams, I think his name was, the guy that said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Okay, so they don't really care, and you have to admire that. You have to admire that ability to keep the cell in you that God put in you. The sad part about it is black folks have had, in this country, have had that beat out of them and all over the world, basically, and people of color, and especially where slavery was very prominent. We don't have the ability to look and see an enemy, which is so sad. And because you recognize your enemy does not mean you have to hate them, because that would expend way too much energy. But what it would do, it would make you aware of the pitfalls and the ways that this enemy could come into your life and take over it. That's all it does. It makes you aware. But if you're running around here and not understanding what this enemy is, and it's bigger than race. It's bigger than race. Okay? But since that is the topic, then we have to tie all these strings in together. And what it all comes down to is true. White people feel very, very threatened by black people. And that is why you see a surge of guns. That is why we've never really appropriately dealt with slavery. And it has affected black people as well as white people. We have not even dealt with the psychological ramifications for black people of slavery, which is the craziest thing in the world for black people to accept, especially when Jewish people who have only been enslaved for, 10, 11, 12 years, can continue to garner all this sympathy and, in fact, continue to arrest people if they catch them on this planet alive. And if they had anything to do with that Holocaust that the Jewish people suffered in Auschwitz, they are being brought to justice. There's retribution. Or then they don't feel that they've been liberated. What can we say that has happened to us in our sojourn over here that has really proven to us that anybody is sorry about what happened to us? Okay? And sorry means, okay, I'm sorry, what am I going to do about it? Not I'm sorry and, oh, well, just get over it. Because getting over it means that we have to sit down at this table and deal with it. Because I don't really want to see a real-life Django situation. But by God, as sure as my name is Khadija Anwar, that's what I feel is imminent. There's no way around it. There's too much blood. There's too much hatred. There's too much directing, misdirecting, and misguiding other people's minds, which is cause and effect on the victim as well as the perpetrators. It has created a world of Babylon. And just like the king of Nebuchadnezzar, wow. I mean, you can just, whether you are a Bible-toting or scripture-loving person, or you know, you have to realize that the stories came from the wall. So when you look at race and the phenomena of man, it was not as it is today until the race construct came. And once the religious aspect was put on your soul, and put on the politics of your soul was really placed on your religion, us as black people were given a doctrine that would make us love people who abused us, and it would also somehow for our oppressor give him a validation that what he was doing was okay in the sight of God because we were not actually human beings. That, to me, is a psychotic mindset. That right there is a mindset that should be repented for. But I don't really believe that it's in the European to repent and do something about it when it comes to black people, simply because we have been the vessel that all the parasites have fed off of. Okay? We were brought over here focused on a color, and these black colored beings would work and become slaves. And even though white people, some of them were poor, all of them didn't own slaves, there was a phenomenon that you took the white person that was slave, that was a worse off than a slave, like maybe the Irishman, and made him an overseer of the slave, which was just a job, and he would be as brutal as he could possibly be so he could move up the ranks of being a very good overseer, and that way he could secure a job for his family. Now, you can't blame a man for wanting to secure a job for his family, right? Only when it's on the backs and when it's at the expense of other people do you find it appalling and offensive. And that's the position that I take. And that is a position that most black people take as what has happened to them. This race thing is not going to go away. Not as long as police are beating young black men and women on the streets and have continued to and have done it ever since they graduated from the slave catcher to the police department. They have been brutalizing and beating people of color, and there has been a white population that has sat silent, that has not gotten as outraged for the beating and the killings that have taken place with fellow human beings simply only because of the color of their skin. And that they have to repent for. See, there is no longer a situation where you can just sit back and say, oh, that's really a shame, but I have no responsibility because I didn't do it. Long gone are the days where you can continue to say, well, I didn't have slaves. Oh, my great-grandfather did. Or not only, or not just that, but that America built up a nation's economy to make it the strongest country in the world off of free labor. And as much as y'all white folks love money and know money is God to you, how in the hell can you think that you can build an empire basically, off of free labor, and not think that the great-great-great-grandchildren of these people that you took time and money and energy and effort and life and death for are not going to have any feelings about it. Now, we should be able to either resolve this like you did with the Jews, or we're going to go down as an experiment gone bad. Because obviously, this experiment is not working. We cannot continue to be the food for the parasites all over the world. When they come into our neighborhood, it's built on race. They set up shop in a black neighborhood. I won't say community because there's nothing community about it. There's no commune. So they set up shop in black neighborhoods, which between redistricting and all this other political jargon have caused black neighborhoods and integration, stick that in there, have caused a lot of black neighborhoods to be totally powder keg or violent enclaves and just really decadent in sectors of a community. So what you do is you continue to let people come in, you indoctrinate them on how to treat these particular savages, and they come in and set up shop because this slave hasn't been taught to use race to his advantage. I don't see anybody being upset because, other than black people, that all these Arabs are setting up shop in their particular neighborhoods and taking their resources and their money out and not bringing them back, so which depletes the neighborhood more and more and more. I don't see anybody getting upset about that monopoly of a certain group of people coming together, pulling their resources together, and taking other people's money, because really, basically, that's how America works. And every group should be able to supply and take care of itself. But not us. We've become a consummate consumer. We don't produce anything. So everybody just come and feed off us, sell us goods, sell us inferior stuff, and collectively, because we're so afraid that if we pull our resources together as black people, we're going to be perceived as racist. We always got to try to include somebody because we'll feel like we're not being inclusive, and we know how that feels. So then it becomes watered down, and then it becomes ineffective, and then there's no power in the race. So I contend that with all these structures going on within the black community and all these things that are happening based on race, negative and positive, we're sitting on a powder keg. I mean, we are actually sitting on a powder keg. When you go up and down and any street, any state in the United States of America, and when you find a black community, there's no coincidence that the same spirit is engulfed in all the communities. Their ghettos are the same everywhere, whether they're occupied by Latinos, Mexicans, it doesn't really matter. Okay? The only thing that separates the black, the African here, is the fact that each one of these groups find no problem in pulling their resources together collectively and speaking and dealing as a group, except the African. And then with that being said, he has the nerve to be called racist or prejudiced because he wants to identify with his group and make his group stronger so he can pull himself out of his economic nightmare and his inability to take care of himself and his family. Well, it's not as cut and dry as that now. Now we get to see the hidden hand that's involved with this group economic thing here. And race plays a significant part. It plays such a part that we're going to have to deal with it. Because now it has come full circle to the point where Americans are buying more guns than that so much that as they ever have in time of history because they're running out of guns. And they're preparing for a race war. The sad thing about it, we're going to lose that one because we don't even shoot straight, okay? So we have to get real, people. We have to get real. We have to start dealing with race. We have to deal with when it became a construct, when it became, there was a period in the history of man where black people, the Africans, taught Europeans how to cook their meat, how to stop living and sleeping with animals and dogs. That's why they had all those diseases. They were in the cage laying down with animals. So there was a time where we got along. You already know that. We took care of your babies. They sucked from our breasts. So now all of a sudden we become inept and we don't know how to do anything? And you're going to use race as a catalyst to continue to inflict genocide on us? And then for the black agents that are among us who continue to give you the image that you need to help dehumane us and to continue to vilify us, for those agents in the black community that are giving you the ammunition to do this, they need to be sitting down at the table too, because we got to deal with them. Because race has affected them so much, just like the largest segment of their population, they have Stockholm Syndrome, and they are willing to do anything, anything, to get out of the condition that y'all created for them, us, to live in. So I know we could go on and on about this, and I thank you for listening. I didn't see any calls today, but that's all right. I got it off my chest. And if you continue to listen and hopefully participate, we're going to have some dialogue and start talking about the things that are very important to us as human beings. Thank you for being out there. Oh, I do see a listener. But thank you for being out there. I appreciate it. I want you to have a blessed day. I want you to remember to stay strong and stay positive. But always remember that truth, pressed to the earth, will rise again. Will rise. And you cannot suppress truth. You're going to have to deal with it. You can no longer keep acting like there is no elephant in the room. Till next time, people. Take care. And be blessed.
God bless. This mess, this test, we pass.
can float and ride my wings with rock and roll. Reel me back, drop me in. I can swim, I can float and ride my wings with rock and roll.